Chapter 1. No Ordinary Outing. When Martha Hale opened the storm door and felt the cut of the cold north wind, she ran back for her big wool scarf. As she hurriedly wrapped it round her neck, she made a scandalized sweep of her kitchen. It was no ordinary thing that called her away. This was probably as far from ordinary as anything that had ever happened in Dixon County. But what she saw now was that her kitchen looked very untidy. Her bread was ready for mixing, with half the flour sifted and half not. She hated to see things half done, but she had been busy baking when the team from town stopped to get Mr. Hale. After that, the sheriff had run inside to say his wife wished Mrs. Hale would come too. He added, with a grin, that he guessed she felt scared and wanted another woman along. So she had dropped everything right where it was. "Martha," came her husband's impatient voice, "don't keep folks waiting out here in the cold." Again she opened the storm door, and this time joined the three men and the one woman waiting for her in the big two-seated cart. She pulled the warm throw tight over her legs and then took a look at the woman who sat beside her on the back seat. She had met Mrs. Peters the year before at the county fair, and the thing she remembered about her was that she didn't seem like a sheriff's wife. She was small and thin and didn't have a strong voice. Mrs. Gorman, the sheriff's wife before her, had had a voice that somehow seemed to support the law with every word. But if Mrs. Peters didn't look like a sheriff's wife, Mr. Peters made up for it by looking like a sheriff. He was certainly the kind of man to get himself elected. He was heavy set with a big voice. He was also particularly friendly with those who obeyed the law, as if to make it plain that he knew the difference between criminals and good people. And right there it came into Mrs. Hale's mind, with a stab, that this man who was so pleasant and lively with all of them was going to the rights now as a sheriff. "The country is not very pleasant this time of year," Mrs. Peters said at last, as if she felt they ought to be talking as well as the men. Mrs. Hale hardly finished her reply, for they had gone up a little hill and could see the Wrights' place now. Seeing it did not make her feel like talking. The Wrights' farm looked very lonely this cold March morning. It had always been a lonely-looking place. It was down in a hollow, and the trees around it were lonely-looking trees. The men were looking at it and talking about what had happened. The county attorney was bending to one side of the cart. He kept looking steadily at the place as they drew up to it. They got down from the cart, and the two women followed the men in through the kitchen door. "I'm glad you came with me," Mrs. Peters said nervously. Even after she had her foot on the doorstep and her hand on the door handle, Martha Hale had a moment of feeling she could not cross that threshold. And the reason it seemed she couldn't cross it now was simply because she hadn't crossed it for so long. Time and time again it had been in her mind, "I ought to go over and see Minnie Foster." She still thought of her as Minnie Foster, though for 20 years she had been Mrs. Wright. But then there was always something to do, and Minnie Foster would go from her mind. But now she had come. The men went over to the stove. The women stood close together by the door. Young Henderson, the county attorney, turned around and said, "Come up to the fire, ladies." Mrs. Peters took a step forward, but then stopped. "I'm not cold," she said. And so the two women stood by the door, at first not even so much as looking around the kitchen. The men talked for a minute about what a good thing it was the sheriff had sent his deputy out that morning to make a fire for them. Then Sheriff Peters stepped back from the stove, undid his outer coat, and leaned his hands on the kitchen table in a way that seemed to mark the beginning of important business. "Now, Mr. Hale," he said in a sort of serious voice, "before we move things about, you tell Mr. Henderson just what it was you saw when you came here yesterday morning." The county attorney was looking around the kitchen. "By the way," he said, "has anything been moved?" He turned to the sheriff. "Are things just as you left them yesterday?" Mr. Peters looked from cupboard to sink. from that to a small worn rocker a little to one side of the kitchen table. "It's just the same," he said. "Somebody should have been left here yesterday," said the county attorney. "Oh, yesterday," returned the sheriff, with a little gesture implying yesterday was more than he could bear to think of. "Yesterday I had to send Frank to Morris Center for that man who went crazy. Let me tell you, I had my hands full, and I knew you could get back from Omaha by today, George, and as long as I went over everything here myself." "Well, Mr. Hale," said the county attorney, in a way of letting the past go, "tell us just what happened when you came here yesterday morning." Mrs. Hale, still leaning against the door, had that sinking feeling of a mother whose child is about to speak before adults. Lewis often wandered along and got things mixed up in a story. She hoped he would tell this one straight and plain. She hoped he would not say unnecessary things that would make things harder for Minnie Foster. He didn't begin at once, and she noticed that he looked strange. It was as if standing in that kitchen having to tell what he had seen there yesterday morning made him almost sick.